Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. Our latest DVD and high-definition downloadable tutorial videos are Learning CCK and Learning Views, available now at store.lullabot.com.
My name's Lisa Reichelt. I work with Mark Bolton on this project. I'm a freelance user experience consultant, but Mark thankfully asked me to be involved in this project. We worked together on the redesign of Drupal.org, and I looked at the sort of user experience and user research side of things. So that involved a whole bunch of different things. A lot of it going out and talking to people in the Drupal community, a lot of talking to people completely outside of the Drupal community, taking all of that information and trying to turn it into an experience strategy, or a way to sort of move forward in terms of how we should shift D.O from what it was before to where it needs to be, and then working with the great designers that Mark's got, and with Mark himself, obviously, to put together the design, which we saw the other day, and I think is kind of coming together really beautifully.
And so talk a bit about what is the difference between user experience and usability. Is there a difference at all, and what is it?
I'm really glad you asked that question. Yeah, there is a difference. I kind of see usability as being one of the kind of components of user experience. So user experience is really about all of the range of touch points and emotions and feelings and everything that's sort of bundled up in what you feel when you experience a product. So it is about whether or not something works properly, whether or not you can achieve the tasks that you want to achieve, but it's also about when you get to that site, do you kind of go, oh, this looks nice, you know, and that really matters. Does it make you feel like it's something that's substantial and well looked after? Does it look like a place that's friendly to people other than developers, for example? There's so many different types of messages that design sends out to people that go beyond whether or not you can get from the top of a form to a bottom of a form without making mistakes, which is much more what usability is focused on. So they're both really important, but if you focus too much on usability, you miss out on a lot of the other really big opportunities that user experience encompasses.
So talk a bit about your process and strategy for what you were starting with the existing Drupal.org site, and how did you want to go about actually transforming that into the design that you came up with?
So with the existing Drupal.org site, it was kind of fairly clear to us, and probably to anybody who looked at it, that it was one that had been put together by the community, and by a community that was largely made up of developers. And I think a lot of people who use the site regularly were able to kind of get it to do what they wanted it to do. But there was another really big audience who would kind of go there and take a look and go, oh, this isn't for me, and sort of run screaming from the room. So our big challenge was really to look after those two quite different audiences and to try to find a way to design a space that was much more welcoming to people who weren't familiar to Drupal and all of its, you know, many and various special ways, without screwing that space up for people who were actually doing a whole lot of work there. You know, the interesting thing about D.O is that it's not just a brochure site at all. It's got work to do that's kind of like a brochure, but that's like the engine room of Drupal as well. There's so much stuff going on there, like lots of really important conversations and lots of really important work happening there. And it was very important to us that we didn't mess around with that working space by turning it too much into a brochure. So a lot of what we needed to do was try to balance the requirements of those two groups in the best way that we possibly could, and to try and really seek input from the two groups and find, you know, that user group that we sort of ended up calling outsiders, and maybe even midsiders, people who didn't have that level of involvement with the community, as what, you know, a lot of us here at DrupalCon have had.
Well, talk also, and one of the other unique things that you guys have done is sort of been very open and blog and interact with the community. So talk about that process and how you were able to sort of integrate a lot of that sort of collaborative feedback and being open and what you were doing and thinking.
Sure, okay. So the process that we took with Drupal.org was really quite different to anything that we've ever done before, and didn't really have any other kind of real benchmarks from other projects that we'd seen happen that were similar as well. But we really kind of knew from the outset that we needed to try and play it in as much of an open source way as we possibly could, whatever that meant. So we made things up as we went along, but we really wanted to be as open as possible and as involved as we could. So it started back in Szeged when we were sort of interviewing lots of people and talking to as many people in the community as we could and watching them interact with the current DOO site. And then that moved on into some kind of interesting activities online. So one of my favorite ones that we did was the crowdsourcing wireframes, where we just invited people to sort of wireframe up whatever page they felt like, you know, wireframing and putting it up on Flickr or on their own blog and linking to it. And we ended up getting, you know, a few dozen wireframes submitted that way. And that was really cool. And then the weekly iteration releases that we did as well. So each week we'd release a sort of updated iteration of the design out to the community to take a look at. Got plenty of feedback there. And at the same time as that was happening, I was also going out and doing a bunch of user testing kind of in the field. So going and meeting real people face to face, a mixture of Drupal people and you know, people who weren't yet Drupal people, showing them the iteration and running through some tests and doing some talking with them about it as well. So there was a lot of kind of reaching out and getting people to get involved in the process as much as we possibly could all the way through, which was fabulously rewarding and really interesting, and we really found people were so interested in helping us do a good job, which was great. But it gave us a lot of challenges in terms of working through all of the information that we were getting back and trying to make sense of it and make good decisions.
And so also talk about your new task that you're going forward in, your task with helping improve the user experience of Drupal 7. And, you know, one of the challenges with Drupal is it's supposed to be a platform that is supposed to be used for anyone or anything. And so there's no real distinct user personas or use cases per se. So, you know, talk about that challenge of how do you go about improving the user experience when it's supposed to be applicable to so many different situations.
I think that, you kind of nailed the problem and the solution in that question there. And that is that we can't successfully design something for everybody to do everything with. Otherwise, you end up with something that's not really a great deal of use to anybody to do anything with. So one of the things, we're really at the very, very early stages, so I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit by even speculating about it, but it kind of makes sense to me that one of the things that we're going to have to try to do is work out what some of the main roles and some of the main uses are going to be and make it easier for those people to get into the state that they want to be as quickly as possible. So I think we're going to be looking at trying to understand, you know, if there is an 80-20 rule going on, if we can set it up so that for 80% of people, if they go in, it's going to work quite well for them. But then again, it's in a way kind of similar to D.O. We want to make it, you know, accessible and easy for people who have got fairly basic requirements without screwing it up for the rest. So making sure that the ability to sort of really configure Drupal to do anything you want it to do, which is what it's so amazing at doing, is there and easily available as well. I think that at the moment, the power of the ability to make it do anything you want it to do is kind of, that's there almost, you know, too much. And what we need to do is look at how far can we sort of simplify things back and present a much more simple interface, a much more simple way of dealing with what Drupal can do that probably a lot of people just need, just that small amount of functionality, and make some decisions about what that should be and who those people are and make that more of a kind of default.
And a final question is, that since you're dealing with Drupal Core, and Drupal Core is sort of a community effort, what happens next with your work? Is it going to be then submitted to the will of the community to decide whether or not we want to actually implement it or not? Or what do you foresee is happening down the road with the work that you're doing and then what happens to it after that?
I don't know whether I know the answer to that question. I guess we've been given a defined project. We'll be doing everything that we can to meet the brief of that project, which is to try and put together some interface recommendations for Drupal 7 that will make it, you know, a great user experience. I think that that's kind of that's almost as much as we can do is to do that and to advocate for it and to try and make everybody understand the rationale behind everything as we possibly can and try to make it as friendly to what, you know, what the core is going to be. Well, but I don't think that we really have that position in the community to be doing too much to sort of push things or have a huge amount of influence about what goes in and out. So I really see our job as probably being about trying to help the community make really good design decisions and really understand the rationale and the reason behind it so that it's not just, you know, a subjective, you know, nice looking thing, that they really understand, you know, why we're suggesting the things that we're suggesting and how we think it's going to, you know, make significant improvements. And then this is another part of, you know, being really open with the community and trying to get them involved in helping us make these decisions, is that if the community owns the design that we're putting together, then it's not just about us trying to push our, you know, baby into core or wherever it belongs. It's the community taking ownership of it and wanting it to be there. And so, yeah, hopefully it's a joint effort.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you.